You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Pablo Torre, Sarah Spain, George Sedano, and reporting from the All-Star Game in Denver, Clinton Yates. Look at his look last night, by the way. All right? That's a man. What does he have in store for tonight? That's a man
that
knows what he wants
Clinton,
to do.
Man.
Today, Team USA's shocking exhibition loss again. And the Warriors and Lillard, could it be? Let's go.
Drip drive. We love it.
Tonight's All-Star Game. 40 first-time All-Stars. That's more than half the field. Think of all the amazing stories there. And then the story that is captivating all, in addition to that, and you know how I always like to ask you, what are you watching for? Who you got? We know it's Shohei Ohtani, so let's have at it. His arm to start the game, his bat to lead off the game, his entire oeuvre, and the national conversation that continued today about his placement as face of the game. Just watching Jeff Passan and our June Lee on First Take today as Stephen A. Smith readdressed his comments about Ohtani. Clinton Yates, you're there around the horn to you. What is tonight about for you?
To me, what tonight is about a celebration of what this game, never mind this league, can really be. Let's not forget, there was no All-Star game last year. So the basic reconvening of everybody involved is something that, on a camaraderie level, is very noticeable. You talked about how many guys are first-timers here. You could tell. People were happy about it. The diversity of the game is something that is very much on display, not just on the field, but physically around Denver as well. Everything this sport and this league can be is going to be on display, and it's all embodied and Shohei Ohtani. That guy is a skill level player on a completely different level, and he did it last night and played to the crowd, and it was fun, and he's gonna do it again tonight. I mean, I gotta say, just as a baseball fan in general, it has been very, very fulfilling to be here in Denver for sure.
George Sedano, what is tonight about for you?
Well, beyond Ohtani, obviously, which is the biggest story, I will add this to Clinton. It's not just the diversity, it's Major League Baseball finally embracing that diversity, which, look, at times it felt like that wasn't the case, okay, whether it was something they were doing purposely or not. They've embraced not only the diversity, but the youth of the game, and that is on full display here. And speaking of which, hey, this is your dad. This ain't your daddy's Toronto Blue Jays. This ain't the 90s anymore, but we got four Blue Jays in here, all acquired in different ways. International signing, Vladdy Guerrero Jr., right? You got Teoscar Hernandez via trade. You've got Bo Bichette, and you've got Marcus Semien. By the way, with Bo Bichette, you figure, oh, yeah, with his dad's name, of course he'd be a major leaguer. He was the 66th pick in the draft. Only 37% of guys picked that in that position make it to the majors, and he's already got the fourth best WAR. So shout out to the Toronto Blue Jays, baby. Let's go.
That's just an encyclopedia of information there, George Sedano. Pablo Torre, what is tonight for you?
It's about Ohtani, Tony. It's about Ohtani for me for a week, a month, months now, the entire year. And this face of the game conversation, I am glad to have the opportunity to weigh in on that because, look, that is an invented title that's made up out of whole cloth. It's a title in search of a controversy. I understand that completely. But the reason why this whole thing with Stephen A. has resonated with me and so many Asian Americans and Asian people across the world is that we don't get many faces of anything. So the idea that here comes this guy who we should all be on our hands and knees thanking the sports god for, right? Please, Lord, thank you for giving us somebody who can do everything, start an all-star game, do, you know, be the face of a home run derby, do everything, right? The fact that we have this guy, like, I want everybody just realize we don't get this opportunity very often. The last time it happened was, you know, Jeremy Lin in some respects. And what happened that time, right? There was, again, clumsiness, racial controversy. And so when an Asian person is the face of anything, what is that like? How do we talk about it? And in terms of Ohtani talking real quick, I just want to point this out. The wildest part about this whole thing is that he has been learning English. He has given speeches in English that are prepared. The reason he uses a translator is because he wants to be very careful about the words he says. And that, to me, is a lesson that a lot of us could heed.
Thank you for that, Pablo Torre. Sarah Spain, what is tonight about for you?
It's actually exactly what Pablo just said, plus what Clinton said, right? This is the opportunity for a sport that is very regional to have its best and brightest in front of a national audience. It's tough enough to watch your own team every single game, 162. You're not necessarily watching a lot of others. So this is the opportunity to hold them all up and have everybody say, okay, whoa, Soto, okay, Tatis Jr., Shohei Ohtani, all these guys that you want to see. And because there is this melting pot of every different background, it should bring us together and make us fascinated and interested by the differences. And instead, we keep having this same conversation, whether it's Mike Schmidt saying he wouldn't build a team around a non-native English-speaking player, whether it's the Red Sox announcer saying they should ban translators for pitchers going to the mound, whether it's Stephen A. repeating what so many have said in the past. It's this conversation that we can't get through because we want to have this Americanized version of this thing that we love, which goes against the very fabric of the game that we should be celebrating. And it's unfortunate to keep having the same conversations, but by virtue of having them, hopefully we prevent future people from trying to pigeonhole these players into something playing the white way, like the unwritten rules say, instead of embracing how much more fun it is when they're different.
Clinton, I saw you on Baseball Tonight Live yesterday, and you said on its face, the face of the game discussion is myopic. Can you expand upon that a little bit? Because, and if I could just add, Pablo says it's an expression that's awaiting controversy. It's an expression that's awaiting debate. I think we can agree on that. No, I think Trout's this. I think Tatis is this. Asking for controversy then approaches a place of insensitivity and worse. Go ahead, please, Clinton.
It's myopic because it's forced in a sense of sort of American exceptionalism that because it's normalized to us, that it's the way that things should be. Baseball is a universal language. That's why people love it. If you don't accept how it comes from everybody, then you don't actually probably like it that much. And that's okay to say, but just be real about what is actually going on.
And George Donnell, last word.
Just to add on to what everyone has been saying, and I thought Pablo nailed it, certainly, but you know, I've interviewed a lot of Hispanic players over the years, whether it's baseball or other sports, and I actually asked them to speak to me in Spanish while on the air on ESPN airwaves, and I'll translate because you can get a real sense of who they are, what their personality is, as opposed to them speaking in a second language where they're trying to be careful because they don't understand everything that's coming out of their mouth and coming out, you know, in their brain being processed in real time. It's not as easy as people think to process stuff in your second language.
But it's well said, George, but then it begs a second question. Is this just about language? Or is this about what baseball struggled with for quite some time, though Clint pointed out, is making strides in a good direction, about other? What is other, right? In that negative connotation. I mean, this is the year baseball just recognized the Negro League statistics going back to 1948, just this year. That's the state of the game today. More on the state of the game came from Rob Manfred. I want to get your take on this. He said this afternoon he doesn't think seven-inning doubleheaders will be part of baseball's future. He also said he doesn't think the runner on second base to start extra innings might be part of baseball's future. So those changes, George, are those changes you can see happening?
So I'm going to give you an answer, Tony, that you generally hate. It's yes and no, okay?
Yeah, thank you.
Yes, I think it's a bad idea. Hey, listen, I'm being honest. Yes, I think it's a bad idea for the seven-inning doubleheaders for all the reasons that have been displayed on this show for weeks as we've been talking about this the entire season for months. But I kind of like the runner on second base. I was super against it at first. I do think it brings some added interest and intrigue to the game. I think it brings back strategy into the game. Small ball becomes more of a factor in that situation. So I like the latter part of it.
Clinton, hearing that Manfred might think, you know, those changes we made last year, let's get rid of them. What do you think of that?
Well, let's remember that they implemented them in a short season, so I get why we sort of feel okay about moving away from them. The seven innings, I can do without, but the runner on second, ITB, international tiebreaker rule, they have that in softball. I love that rule. Okay. It makes extra innings more interesting. I can stay with that 100%.
So maybe you are yes and no, like Sedano, who I took a point away of. You get it back now. Sarah Spade, how about you?
Yes and no. I absolutely see that you should get rid of the shortened doubleheader games. And I know a lot of baseball purists won't like any of these rules continuing on. They're okay with them just being during a COVID season. But I like the runner on second because people on this show are also always complaining about too many extra innings games. I like it when it goes 15 and there's an outfielder on the mound. A lot of other people don't. This does allow for those games to end faster. And again, for that strategy and small ball to come to
play. And Pablo Torre.
Man, does anybody know how to play this game? And by this game, I mean around the horn, because my answer will be simple. Yes and yes. I want both rules to stay. I like the shorter games. They shave like 35 minutes off of games on average, plus the new rule. Yes, you gotta try to reach younger fans, try to do different stuff, get a little weird. I am here for weird and different.
Yes, we see what you're wearing today. We recognize that. All right. Camel. It's a good look on you, Pablo Torre. One more topic here. Last night's home run derby. Pete Alonso, 74 home runs, which went 6.3 miles. He won the home run derby. But everything else, Ohtani versus Soto, Soto versus his batting practice pitcher, Kevin Long, Trey Mancini, Clinton Yates, you were there. Who won the night? Yep.
I think it had to be Alonso. What people don't realize is that once Ohtani got knocked out, about 25% of that crowd just left. So it was on Alonso to keep those guys going up. He's out there hitting balls to Nas and Mobb Deep, who are from Queens, tremendous hip-hop legends. Yo, I was really excited about
it. Yeah, it's intense. I mean, yeah, it took your breath away, it looks like. George Sedano, who won last night?
It's clearly Pete Alonso. Look at his bank account. He's now made $2 million as the winner of the home run derby the last 2 years. That's $600,000 more than he's made playing Major League Baseball.
Sarah Spade, who won last night?
Well, I appreciate Pablo asking if any of us know how to play this game when I could lose my next 100 shows and still have a higher winning percentage than
him. Oh, my goodness. She said it on national TV.
That was the dead
ball
era.
Oh, no.
The winner was us. Because we got Shohei, we got Soto, we got everything. The winner was us in baseball because it was really fun to watch.
Pablo Torre, who won the home run derby?
Pick up
the person who should be the winner is a gentleman named Dave Joust, Tony. That is the 64-year-old Mets bench coach who was pitching to Pete Alonso, who deserves a cut of that $2 million, and who was lobbing softballs as easy as the one Sarah Spain likes to hit out of the park, talking about around the horn statistics. Really? That's where we are in the sports.
Pick up the pieces of your life. We have the image of Joust's pitch location. Check this out. Unbelievable! It's unbelievable! Look at that location. One more thing.
Shouts.
And I have to credit the great comedian Roy Wood Jr. for alerting me to this. Forget about home run derby. Bring on the bunt derby. Yeah. Look at this. This is what I'm here for. Though in the major leagues, I don't know if we can pull that off. I don't think we have the guys for that. But it's like curling, for baseball. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
And in the second exhibition, the U.S. lost again.
When you make statements about, in the past, just blowing out these other teams, number one, you give no respect to the other teams. We've had very close games against four or five countries in all these tournaments. So the good teams do not get blown out. So when you make a statement like that, it's like you assume that's what's going on, and that's incorrect.
Olympics in 12 days. Yesterday, after the loss to Nigeria, I asked the panel if gold was in doubt. Now, after the loss to Australia, George Sedano, and before tonight's game versus Argentina, I asked if this team and Popovich has the time and game to figure it out.
Well, Tony, I do think they're going to get some reinforcements. Jrue Holiday, Chris Middleton, Devin Booker. I think that will help. But the lack of continuity is a problem. The rest of the world is really good at this now. Look at this Australia team, who's a gold medal type favorite. They've got guys who have not only played together recently, but guys like Patty Mills and Chris Goulding have played for 15 years together. The U.S. doesn't have that.
Glenn Yates.
Yeah, also, a lot of these guys are adjusting to some things. First of all, their roster is too small, but the refereeing is an actual factor for a lot of these NBA players. But overall, sorry, the world has a lot of good teams now. I like this as a fan of basketball who is not necessarily concerned about USA hoops as a priority in my life. It's a good tournament. I like it.
Dar Spain?
Yeah, but Australia has seven new players, and they've changed coaches twice in the last 2 years. That continuity argument isn't working as well for the U.S. as it used to. They have a problem with defense. They have a problem with size. And, yeah, we'll see with a little bit more time, and especially when the stakes are higher, if the talent gets them over the hump. I think it probably will. But this is not about just continuity.
George, you disagree with something Sarah just said. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, again, Patty Mills and Chris Goulding have been the leaders of this Australian team and have played together since the under 19 days. Like that, you can't replicate
okay,
that.
They should definitely beat Dame Lillard and Kevin Durant then.
Pablo Torre, you want to
weigh
in here?
They're not as talented, but they have more continuity. Well, that's the argument.
I will add some more facts and figures to Sedano and Spain trying to steamroll the entire show. I'll point out that Australia has six NBA players on it, right? Nigeria has eight. The idea that we're playing against Angola asking for photos with the Dream Team has been dead and gone.
All right, we've had that discussion before. I mean, can we talk about Popovich for a second? I'm reading from Karen Phillips here, Deadspin. His system doesn't translate to star-studded teams. Is anybody buying that? Sarah Spain, you want to weigh in on that?
I mean, if you're just looking at the record, Popovich has been kind of a disaster as head coach of this team compared to previous iterations. But you have to take into account how the world is catching up.
Torrey.
Yeah, look, international play different from NBA play, right? Don't impeach Popovich's NBA resume for something that's very particular, which is the international basketball landscape.
George.
This is about guys committing for the long term. When we had the Redeem Team, those guys were committed for several years. We haven't had that in a long time.
We'll move on. Two could-be game-changing NBA reports today. Shams Charania reporting the Sixers are shopping Ben Simmons. And the semantics always important here. And Charania writing Philly has engaged with other teams. And at the same time, the Athletic reporting, the Warriors are looking at ways to land Damian Lillard. Start with Philly. Clinton, buy or sell the Sixers shopping Simmons.
I'll sell that. If I'm a Sixers fan, I want this franchise to figure out how to make this guy a better player rather than try to replace him because of the skill set he brings and what they add to who they already have. Simmons, if he gets it together, could be a great player. Bringing in somebody else who might be as good if they are, you know, successful, I don't think that's in the process.
I'm buying getting rid of him because if he gets it together is such a big part of this, and I don't know if Philly is the place for it. I think he needs a fresh start. He will be better somewhere else, and they've done this enough times now to say this ain't working. Here.
Still looking for people who are experts on Philadelphia. George Sedano, how about you?
I'm buying it. Look, Rich Paul came to the organization and just discussed this openly, right? Is this the move for them? Like, he was preemptive in this particular situation. I actually like him in Portland. If you want to keep Dame there, move CJ to Philadelphia. They need more shooting, more offense, and Portland needs more defense, right? He's an elite defender. I think that deal works.
Yo, that's a banned word. Pablo Torre, how about you?
Look, this story to me is kind of a nothing burger with cheese because, of course, Philly is going to explore the trade market for Ben Simmons. Of course they're going to do that. Do I want him to be traded? traded? No. The only small part of me that does is actually in agreement with Sarah, because I just feel bad for Ben being in a place that's not conducive to his actual talents with a coach who does not know how to maximize him with a fan base that appreciates him less and less. For those reasons, I want him to be released into the wild, but I would love for him to figure it out with the team that deserves him.
All right, everything you said may be true. You lost me. We said nothing burger with cheese. Speaking
yeah,
of Philly, when it's
we've been hearing about cheese. Sixers for
with
months.
There. All right, last one here. George Sedano, Anthony Slater's piece in The Athletic about the Warriors monitoring the littered future in Portland and maybe Wiseman, Wiggins, and picks. Does Golden State need to make this move, George?
I mean, Golden State needs to make this move because James Wiseman is not a good fit. They're probably lamenting that they didn't draft LaMelo Ball in that situation. And for Portland, if rebuilding is what you want to do, a package of Wiseman, who I think has plenty of upside, two lottery picks, and some future picks makes sense.
Ben Yates?
Dame has given a generation of Blazers fans the best years of their life. If that guy wants to go, I think that it's reasonable as a franchise to let him go to where he wants.
Sarah Spain?
You never get back what you give away when you give away Dame. They should absolutely not do this unless it is the last and final option.
Pablo?
And does Dame want to do it? That dude is Salieri to Steph Curry's Mozart. Does that dude want to play with Steph as his sidekick? I don't think he wants to do that either.
Oh, how great could be to watch Curry,
so
Lillard,
fun.
Clay,
so
Green,
sidekick, yeah.
Spain, Torrey, I think we know this was showdown all along. 2 minutes.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
We've heard of draft prospects being asked about rock, paper, scissors, or to play rock, paper, scissors, being asked any number of things. Well, today, Dwayne Casey, speaking in Detroit, said they asked draft prospects whether they make their beds in the morning, thinking it will indicate whether they set the, how they set the tone for the rest of their day, how organized they are. Pablo Torre, Sarah Spain, welcome to Showdown. This is the one question. Is making a bed necessary to start your day? It is a good assumption over your draft prospects. Sarah, first to you.
This sounds like the kind of reasoning that got you Darko Milicic. I can't wait for them to tell us which of the prospects in this draft made their bed and why they were selected 11 spots too high.
The Pistons have the number one overall pick. Why are they talking about any of this? If Cade Cunningham sleeps in a race car bed, I don't care. Just take the dude. Stop trying to outsmart yourselves and everybody else by sounding inane.
Window into your soul time, though. Do you make your bed first thing in the morning? Sarah Spain?
Absolutely not.
Pablo Torre?
That is the other member of my household who is better.
Both of you. I mean, should I bring back Sedano? And I like the race car bed. Fine. Take the answer, Pablo Torre. Take the FaceTime.
I just want to point something out. I am now 9-5 against Sarah Spain in showdowns, which is a pretty advanced around the horn statistic that I think we can actually get more complex and more illustrative of how hard it is to do this show, because I know that my statistics on this show have been impugned today. I just want to point out, you dig deeper into the numbers, the advanced metrics. The analytics age of Around the Horn, Tony, has to begin. Let it begin today with this FaceTime. I played in the dead ball era.
Trust the process, Pablo. That's another story I wanted to tell you. See you tomorrow.